This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Paul Howard of VSiN, Follow the Money, will join us. We will talk all of the college football games, the scenarios this weekend as we head to somehow the final weekend of the season. Man, it just feels like we're just getting started, sitting here in the summer doing previews, talking about week zero, week one, and you blink and the season is over. So nobody on a bye, loaded slate here, a million games. We'll see what Paul likes. We'll go over the scenarios and we will see about a week from now, 8 days, 9 days from now, who's in this college football playoff conference title games next weekend, which will be a lot of fun. So a lot still up in the air. We'll get his thoughts on this Black Friday game, Chiefs and Raiders, which I'm still getting used to. It used to be just, hey, Black Friday's for some college football, some college basketball. You get all the NFL on Thursday, but hey, the NFL, we know how they operate. They can never get enough. It's all about more days, Thursday games and Saturday games and Black Friday games. If they could play games Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I mean, if they could play games every night, they absolutely would. They have no bounds. They want to dominate every day. So Chiefs Raiders, not a great game, and I don't know. I don't mind having the game on. I just don't think of Black Friday and think of an NFL game. It is still taking some getting used to. We had Jets Dolphins last year. That wasn't a great game. But let's not bury the lead. I will get to my picks here in a minute. But this day, let's be honest, this day we are all still, and I'm recording this right before Dolphins Packers are there starting right now in the first half. We are still recovering from what we saw with the Bears and the Lions. Just a crazy game. The Lions probably should have been up like 31-0 at halftime. And you know what? Bears hanging around, they get a fumble, they get a stop. You say, oh, but maybe the Bears can cover. And if you're just kind of, half paying attention to the game, you look up and the Bears are down three with the ball with a chance to either tie or win. And that's where Eberflus is going to get most of the blame here. And Eberflus deserves all the blame he could possibly get. He should get fired for this. He probably will get fired for this. Who knows? Maybe by the time you're listening to this, he will be dismissed and let go as the coach of the Bears. Just a matter of time. That is a fireable offense, and what he did throughout the game was fireable. This is so stupid. For anyone, I'm sure everyone saw it. I mean, they ran out of time. They had a timeout. How you do that, I don't know, but it's almost so stupid. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just such an easy target. There's nothing to add. It's like if someone took a stack of $100 bills, like $1,000 and $100 bills, and just lit them on fire, and you asked me to react to that. How do I react other than saying, that's really stupid? That's like the stupidest thing I've ever seen. The only thing I could think of in comparison, and there's always recency bias when somebody does something really stupid or really dramatic, you always think it's the stupidest thing ever. And look, that feels like the stupidest thing ever, what he did at the end of the game. The only thing I can compare it to, J.R. Smith in the finals that year, it was 2018 when they're tied. They get an offensive rebound and J.R. Smith runs out the clock and Cavs don't call timeout. J.R. Smith thinks he has the lead. It's tied. They go to overtime. They lose. They end up getting swept. That's really the only thing I can think of in recent memory where you have the same reaction. If you're looking at the person next to you saying, did that happen? I mean, I think we all have the same reaction. Did that really just happen? What happened? Is the game really over? The players look stunned and just terrible job by Eberflus. He had no accountability after the game. But to me, the story, because Eberflus is not going to be head coach. He's going to be a defensive coordinator. He's basically, as fans, he's going to be pretty much out of our lives as bettors, as fans going forward. He's never going to be a head coach again. The story is Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams after the game, and he should have called timeout. He should have known better, and he burned a timeout earlier in that drive. Third and three from their own one, might have been second and sorry, they were on their own three. Third and seven, he burned a timeout to avoid a delay of game. A delay of game is half the distance of the goal. That's a yard and a half penalty. So Caleb Williams burned a timeout there. And then after the game, and a lot of this is on him, hey, snap the ball, I don't need the coach. Or Caleb Williams could call a timeout, because Caleb Williams is going to be, as football fans, like Caleb Williams is going to be in our lives for a very long time. And after the game, he said, well, people are just second guessing. It's easy to hit the pause button and second guess what we did. If we hit the play at the end, nobody would be second guessing us. That is just the dumbest football you're ever going to see. To put it nicely, you have to question the football intelligence of Caleb Williams. And well, let's be honest, if you do something like that and you're going to defend it after, I know he's young, maybe he's a little mature. That just, you don't seem like you're the brightest person in the world if you're doing that in the first place, burning the timeout earlier the way he did, and then doubling down and say, hey, you guys second guessing us. You're just playing the results. You don't really get it. His quotes were so concerning, such a turnoff, just a mind-boggling end to the game, really. In a game, Detroit was dominating early on. Chicago plays a good second half. Detroit misses a field goal. They fumble earlier on. And Chicago had chances early. I mean, Chicago, There was a play that got called back on that final drive where it looks like Chicago was going to get in the end zone. I kind of had a feeling the way they were moving the ball, they were going to get in the end zone. Gets called back, illegal hands to the face on the offensive lineman. There was another ball where Moore was open. Caleb Williams missed the throw. And the drive before, it was a 3rd and 18. And if he hits Moore in stride, Moore's probably going to catch it. And if not score, hit a huge play. It was a little behind him, still catchable by Moore. So, man, the absolute just insane nature of that game, the stupidity of how the Bears handled that, and Eberflus is going to be the target. He deserves to be the target. His challenge early in the game was a joke on that catch fumble that was never going to get overturned. And how about Nance after the challenge? He goes, well, you can't blame Eberflus for taking a chance there, Jim. We all like Nance, Jim. He was never winning that. Come on. You got to be better than that. Nance, you can tell if you're watching these games closely, intently, Nance is starting to lose a step. He's starting to fall into the Al Michaels of not really seeing the field well. There was a scramble by Caleb Williams for a good 14, 15 yards, and Nance said he picked up 6. There was another ball that was just kind of broken up, and he said, intercepted. He goes, nope, it's broken up. So he's starting to lose his eyesight, you would think. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, because he's off on a lot of these calls. He's just very inaccurate. He's very slow to realize what happened. He's just incorrect. I mean, we see it with Al Michaels. If you're a Yankee fan, you listen to John Sterling. When these broadcasters get older, they just lose their eyesight. They lose their fastball, and no different than an athlete getting a step slower or losing their losing their whatever attributes they had, a running back losing their speed, a pitcher losing his fastball. It's the same sort of thing. So just a crazy game. Absolutely. And I think what's going to get lost here is, did this second half by the Lions, was this fluky, or did this show some cracks? Did this show an inability? Because let's be honest, they look in the first half like, man, this is not only the best team in the league, this might be one of the best teams ever. If they had won a Super Bowl in the past, you'd be looking at this team as, man, this is a historically good team. Is the first half more of the takeaway of, man, this is the dominant Lions team, we think? Or is the second half, did that show some cracks? Like, hey, maybe this team is beatable after all. I don't know. They still looked pretty good. I think the game just got weird. They took their foot off the gas. I'm not sure what to make of the second half, but it is something to keep an eye on. Man, if you're Minnesota, you thought you're going to get a breakdown, you probably have to beat Detroit anyway, and they play each other week 18 in Detroit. Because if you don't beat Detroit, they're going to have the tiebreak over. So it's almost like, in order to avoid needing to beat Detroit, Minnesota's going to have a 2-game lead over the Lions heading into week 18. That's not going to happen. So you'd at least like to be even heading into week 18 if you have any visions of stealing this division. And then you beat the Lions, and then you win the division. Tiebreakers, they could even it out. But right now, Detroit has beaten them head-to-head. So Minnesota probably frustrated with that result. But hey, that game could have easily been 31-0 in the first half. Bears had a chance to steal it. And just a wild game, man. Giants, Cowboys, not much to say. Giants can't block. Giants can't tackle. Pass rush for Dallas did a nice job. I know Dallas is mouthing off after the game. Parsons, hey, you haven't heard of The Last of Us. We're coming. We're getting guys back. Basically the league needs to watch out for us. Okay. I mean, maybe with rush, they can win some games. Dowdle did a nice job. The pass rush did a nice job, but they play the Bengals. They still have to play at Philly. Could they possibly get to 9-8 and get in? Probably not. Probably not. They play the Bucks. They play the Panthers. They probably dug themselves too big a hole. And if they got in, you know what? Not that they're going anywhere anyway. So you can't completely write them off from, hey, they win. What are they sitting at 6? So they go, they somehow get to 9-8 and they get in. Maybe. I still don't think it's possible. I still don't think it's likely. Is it possible? I guess. But beat the Bengals and then we can talk. If you beat the Bengals, then maybe we can reevaluate Dallas. The Giants, you can't say they're tanking. Locke played. He didn't play well, but he got hit a million times. He ran around. He's not a very good quarterback. He's better than DeVito, but the Giants just not a good team. I don't know what it means for Dable going forward. And by the way, you can't punt when you're down 14 with 7 minutes to go. You just can't. It was fourth and long. You probably weren't going to get it anyway, but to just give the ball back, there's just too much that has to happen right now for you to somehow win the game when you're down 14, 7 minutes left. And they ran all the clock. They ran the play clock down to 1 and then they punted, which I thought was crazy. So, pretty good games, the first two. And again, we'll see what happens here in Miami, Green Bay. Anything significant happens in that, I'll just cover it on the Monday pod, but still reeling from what happened in Detroit and Chicago. Just one of the all-time. I mean, you're going to be talking about that game in 20 years. Every Thanksgiving, when you look at the Thanksgiving classics from previous years, you're going to see the Lawrence Taylor picked interception that's run back against Dallas. You're going to see the Randy Moss 3 catches all for touchdowns against the Cowboys. This game is going to be on that list. Phil Luckett with the coin toss against Bettis. This game is going to be on this list of short list of Thanksgiving classics just for how bizarre this ending was. As far as the picks, we'll get into them here. I am going back to the well with the Tennessee Titans. I will take the +5.5. Maybe there's a six out there. There probably is if you shop around and you have enough books. I just think Washington's on the way down. I don't want to say Tennessee's. I don't want to say Tennessee's on the way up, but that was a really impressive win. Not only did they beat the Texans by 5 in Houston, they dominated the stats. They outgained them by over more than 200 yards. Levis has played okay. They've got a good defense. I don't like the way Washington has played at all. Maybe this I'm falling victim to recency bias. There's a possibility I am, but I will take the Titans +5.5 for that game. I will also take Carolina +6. I just think Young has played much better, and I just don't know if we're at the point with Tampa where we could be laying 6 points on the road. Carolina's defense is getting a little healthier. Young has played better, so I will take Carolina +6. They have been respectable. Young has been serviceable, then respectable. Young was actually pretty good last week against the Chiefs, so I have no feeling on Chiefs Raiders here. It's a lot of points to lay. They don't have an appetite for covering these big numbers, but they do have an axe to grind against the Raiders, so that would keep me off of the Raiders. O'Connell goes for the Raiders. Chiefs are probably going to win. Are they going to win by 10? Are they going to win by 14? Are they going to win by 17? To me, it's a coin toss. So because of the fact that the Chiefs have an axe to grind here, I am staying off the Raiders. It'd be a lean towards the Raiders because it's too many points. But the fact that the Chiefs might want to stick it to them, I don't like the way the Chiefs are playing, but the fact that the Chiefs might want to stick it to them would keep me off of the Raiders here. College, the games to keep an eye on. Tennessee needs to win to get in. Notre Dame is in with a win. If they lost, that would get interesting. The teams that we know are in for sure, I would say, are Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Texas versus Texas A&M is a big one, but I think Texas is in even with a loss. So Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, I think Georgia, Indiana is going to be in, but there's really not that many teams. You're obviously going to get an ACC winner. We'll see what happens with the Big 12. Does Clemson, South Carolina, does that winner get in? Can Bama actually still get in? So, again, there's way, way more questions, and I wouldn't count Bama out by any stretch just because, hey, if it comes down to like a three-loss Bama versus a two-loss, let's say SMU, I wouldn't be shocked if they put Bama in. I mean, Bama's good for ratings. Bama's the brand name, and that stuff matters. But we'll see. It'll be fun to dissect and break it all down Monday when we have the final results of what happened, at least going into conference title weekend. There'll be a little more clarity, but a lot up in the air. There will be a lot of, I would think there will be a lot of controversy come Sunday. Now, maybe this breaks it away where nobody can really complain and the committee has an easy job, but that's usually not the way it goes. But picks for college, I do like Vandy +11. And I do like A&M +6. I just think Vandy is very good. Keeping the ball away from the opponent, playing good as a dog, covering as a dog. So they've been great as a dog all year. I will continue to ride that. And I think A&M +6 is a good bet too. As far as Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan's beat them here a few years in a row. That's going to end this year. Oh, I just don't think they can score. Like literally can't score. Like they might not score a touchdown. They have no offense. Ohio State's outstanding on defense. Ohio State didn't run the ball great last week against Indiana, but they're going to get enough offense. I would actually lay it with Ohio State because if they get a chance to run it up, I know they have a Big Ten title game next week against Oregon if they win, but if they get a chance to run it up, they absolutely will. So we'll lean towards taking Ohio State. So I'll call Ohio State -20.5 a pick, Vandy +11 a pick, Texas A&M +6 a pick, and then Titans and Bucks in the NFL. Quickly, I didn't count the Red Sox as a contender for Soto at all. We'll see what Paulie Howard thinks. I actually just talked to Paulie a minute ago before we recorded this. It's starting to sound like, look, if they're going to offer him 13,625, that's more than just a token offer. That's more than just keeping your fans happy, like I might have thought and like Adam Kaufman thought the other day. 13 for 625, I don't know that it'll go there. Somebody might match that. Somebody might exceed that. But if you're going to offer that, that is real money and that is a real possibility, which I don't like. And man, if you're the Yankees and you let that guy get away and let him go to the Red Sox of all people and team up with Devers, not that they have like a title team, but with their prospects, if they trade something for Crochet, that the Red Sox could be back very quickly. That would absolutely infuriate me if I'm the Yankees, if I'm a Yankee fan, which I am. You can't let that happen, but that's starting to seem like that's a real possibility, which I would not have said a week ago. So we'll keep an eye on that. College football, NFL, great weekend ahead. But let's see what Paulie Howard thinks about all of these games on tap, the college football scenario. That is next. This is the Shoulda Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can catch him. He is the star of Follow the Money, where he's a co-host, 4 to 7 Eastern weekdays. It is the great Paul Howard. Paul, first-time guest, man. Thanks for coming on. Excited. How are you?
Good, buddy. Thanks for the invite. And I think we missed you out in Foxwoods. How would you rank the three pizza places in New Haven, Connecticut?
I'm a Pepe's guy. I think Pepe's is one, and then it's a jump ball between the other two. I went out there. I think I only met Mitch. I don't think that was, boy, that's 3 years ago now, I think.
Yes.
That was right when Fox was certain. Yeah, I don't know if you left earlier or you went somewhere, but I spent – there was a Viking-Steelers Thursday night game, and I watched a little bit of
right.
With him, and I forget where it happened with you. So I don't know if there will be a next time, but I'll be out in Vegas at some point again. But exciting time of the year. Let's get right into it. We'll start college football. I'll make you the odds maker. Over or under three lost teams that make the college football playoffs. What's a fair number, and what are your thoughts just in general?
Over under three loss. I'm gonna say a half. Oh boy, that's hard. That's a great question. Because I the SEC's really they're up against it here. So I would probably say a half over minus $2. And I'll throw the question right back to you, though. I mean, the Clemson South Carolina game's enormous, but I think unless South Carolina blows them out, that they're going to be blocked from their huge 24-point loss against Ole Miss. So what do you think about my number? It's a good question, though.
I think it's a good number. I think we probably get one. I wouldn't be shocked. I know people will go nuts. If it ever came down to a three-loss Bama and a two-loss SMU, I don't trust the committee to put SMU in over Bama. Do you?
Yes. Yes.
You do? Okay.
I feel great about not only two from the ACC, but three from the ACC.
Wow.
Now, I don't agree with the Clemson nonsense at 12, but they certainly are now set up with a big game because they're 12 and they play South Carolina. Clemson only has, I think, one win against a team in a power conference with a winning record. So the resume's not there. And how do you get bludgeoned at home by Louisville? But the Lane Kiffin comments got a lot of traction. Well, I was talking to other coaches. We don't want to play in the SEC title game. It can be a detriment. So the committee chair has said time and time again that you cannot have a system where you're going to penalize a team for making their conference title game.
Right.
So if SMU Miami is close, they're both in. Miami has a better chance because there's six SMU sitting there at nine. But the most consistent team since the quarterback change, both sides of the ball, has been SMU since they went to Jennings. So I absolutely believe Alabama will not jump that high if SMU – they will not penalize the loser of the ACC title game. ACC gets two in. And there's a good chance if Clemson's impressive, they get three. I can't believe I'm saying that.
So what if Tennessee or Notre Dame got upset this weekend? You don't think Bama sneaks in that way possibly?
That's what they need. Yes,
yeah.
That could happen for Bama too. They did adjust their numbers at DraftKings. Bama to get in now plus 240. But to your point, we're running out of teams here. So if there's more chaos,
right?
And if Notre Dame loses, you know, you bring up the Alabama thing, but they have been so bad away from home. I mean, it's one thing to lose to Oklahoma. You can't get blown out in the first time they didn't score a touchdown since 2011. I mean, if you really want to get nuts, Notre Dame is five. If Notre Dame loses a close game at USC, I wouldn't fall over if Notre Dame still is in because I could see them. I wouldn't agree with it. I could see them saying, yeah, but USC has led in the fourth quarter of every game. And then 7-5 is still a bad record, but I could see them playing games with that as well. But that is – They won't quit Alabama, though. They won't kill. They only dropped them six spots, even though they got humiliated. So, but it's we're running out of teams. What if South Carolina beats Clemson? Would they jump South Carolina if Notre Dame loses and say, well, we'll ignore head-to-head. You lost a close one in Tuscaloosa. We'll take South Carolina, even though then you would be throwing out the first 6 weeks of the season.
You know, it's funny because I'm in the Fox pod I do with Jeff Schwartz and Sammy P and Bear. I on a text thread, I said a couple weeks ago, it was actually a week ago, almost to the day. Hey, South Carolina is 70-1. They can't get in, right? And all three of them, no chance. They can't get in. They lost all these games. They're down to like plus 250. I still don't think they get in, but and I don't have these in Connecticut, but boy, that would have been a hell of a bet on South Carolina. Man, they got screwed against LSU. The quarterback got hurt. They got bad calls. This team could easily have two losses and. Boy, that's a top five, top three defense in the country. I would want no part of playing them. I don't know if there is a path for them to get in.
Well, let's say they win by three touchdowns. I mean, if they go on the road and win by three touchdowns and Alabama struggles with Auburn, that's definitely in play. If you get the chaos up front. If someone loses, and that's possible. Tennessee loses or Notre Dame gets beat, because they'll just probably say, how are you playing right now? And we love what they're doing. And for whatever reason, they think Clemson's good. So, but again, it goes back to we're running out of teams now. If everyone continues to lose, it's kind of like, what was it, LSU and I don't care, OSA, whatever year that was, where they just backed in because right. everyone in front of them lost, and they went on to win the national title. That's when that Les Miles said, hey, we haven't lost in regulation, even though they had two losses, but both were overtime. But it's I do think there isn't much value, though, from a future standpoint, because you can still, you might have to win 3-4 games.
Sure.
And it's just the odds don't sync up and add up.
Yep, absolutely. Do you like the 12-team playoff?
Yes.
I do, too.
I don't know. Are there other options? I mean, 14, then we're going to be letting some below suspect teams and average teams maybe. But 8 was probably the best number, but it's certainly better than 4, and it certainly changes and makes college football the best sport, because before, the kids were just going to the same schools. They want to play in the big games and go to and be on the big stage. So the same teams were making it every year. And we also, for whatever reason, had blowouts. But between the first round being on campus sites and letting the little guy in, and you just see the chaos and what's unfolded here, I think it really opens it up, along with NIL, that the SEC doesn't have all the great talent now. It's going to be spread out, and this is how the sport is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's fun, too. It's fun from a betting standpoint in terms of like all these debates making the playoffs. From a content standpoint, it's great because there's just more to talk about. So I thought I was against it at first, but, man, I love it. I think it's really good. I've enjoyed it more than I thought. I'm really excited that we get these 12 teams. Who do you like this weekend?
Well, I got a lot of games here. I know it's big with the rivalry, but with the dogs, I took Vandy plus 11. They've been great in this spot all year. I haven't been impressed with Tennessee all season, and I just think it's a classic. They know what's on the line when and they make the playoff, and they could stub their toe. I think Vandy can hang in that game. I love Arizona. They're not a good team, but I hate one of the biggest disappointments in college football. And I'm disappointed in Brennan, who's a good coach and did an excellent job at San Jose. This is a horrific spot. Horrific. So Arizona State knows if they have a great chance to make the playoff if they win out. You're talking about, and I think Dillingham's the coach of the year. Cignetti, great story. But this guy was picked 16th out of 16 teams, returning, taking over a program that won 3 games and with sanctions. Picked at the bottom. You win the game against BYU, you tear down the goalpost, and now you're playing your rival and you're laying more than a touchdown. Horrible spot. I took 8.5 with Arizona. I also like Syracuse. Can Miami get stops here? You know, I watched McCord out here when they beat UNLV and handed him one of their 2 losses, and it's a good UNLV team. He can turn it over, but I just think Miami, they haven't proven it all year that they can get stops defensively, and it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I don't think Miami's going to win by 2 touchdowns. I also love this angle from Brad Powers. Every game this year, the Notre Dame opponent has failed to cover after playing the Irish. Not only San Antonio plus 7.5, UTSA outright against Army in that game. And New Mexico. What a better way to close out the regular season. We have the get-out game at 11 Eastern. New Mexico laying 2. Another great coaching job. Their win total was 1.5 in some spots. New Mexico to try to get to 6-6 lane 2 at Hawaii. Good quarterback, great offense. I think New Mexico covers in the get out game. That's what I play.
How about NFL? Anything for this Black Friday game? Chiefs laying a big number against the Raiders. They've had no appetite, no ability to cover these big numbers. Mm-hmm. I know they have an axe to grind with that rivalry with the Raiders, with Pierce mouthing off last year. Are you getting involved in this game at all?
Yep. So I'm surprised with it ticked down. I laid 13. Because I just think all your points are valid, but it's just revenge, and the Raiders are a mess. I don't understand the move once it was announced it's O'Connell. So I thought it would be Ritter, but so they're bringing O'Connell back with Minshew being out, big deal. So the fact that Mahomes talked about, let's make it easy on ourselves, I'm sick of these close calls every single week. The defense did have a bad performance against Bryce Young, too many stupid penalties. I think they open up a can and bury the Raiders in this game. And the other thing is the Raiders have the most giveaways and the fewest takeaways. Their turnover margin, I believe, is minus 17. It's the worst for a team this through this, what, 12 weeks in the season since the Browns team that didn't win a game. So between coaching mismatch, they continue to give it away. They don't force turnovers, revenge, all of it. Chiefs bury them on Black Friday.
If we don't get a Eagles-Lions NFC title game, who is the team that breaks it up?
Oh, boy. Vikings. No, can't get there with the Vikings.
That's what I was thinking.
Can't do it with Darnold. I want to get there with the Packers, but Love has a Will Levis-type play every week with a boneheaded decision. Atlanta can't stop anything. Have to throw them out. Washington Daniels is hurt. No way. Who would blow that up? I think Sirianni. I think the only thing standing in the way would be Sirianni doing something stupid. Like not passing on a field goal. To me, it has to be Detroit and Philly in the NFC title game. It would have to be a Campbell or Sirianni coaching blunder. Like fake punt inside your own 20. A tush push inside your own 20 that goes awry. Something with the coaches. To me, they're just they're head and shoulders above the rest of the conference. And I would have to be something where, although Campbell is the perfect guy for that city and that team, I would think it'd have to be a coaching blunder. They're that good. What say you?
I would go Minnesota just because I could see a day where Jefferson and Addison go off and Flores has something dialed up where he gets, you know, he can fluster Goff or he can fluster Hurts and just, you know, roll all sevens and have a good game plan. I mean, look, they were up one with the ball against the Lions. Lions look unbeatable now, but they could have won that game. They were up 10-0. They were up one with the ball. They needed a couple first downs, and that game's over. And we're talking about Minnesota as a division winner, and Minnesota is a one seed. So they haven't played as well the last month. They've played poorly against the Titans and the Jags. They're winning, but they're not as impressive. I agree it'll probably be Eagles-Lions, but I guess I would go with Minnesota to break it up just because, look, the Packers are a couple plays away from being like around a 500 team.
That's true.
They won on the last play against the Texans, the Jags. Those don't look that good. The Bears, they need to block field goal. Love has been shaky. So I do think we're probably looking at an Eagles-Lions NFC title game, which would be a hell of a game.
Yes. I think, I take the over in that one, no doubt, and I hope that happens. How about a Detroit-Buffalo Super Bowl?
Would be incredible.
Would come to an end. Can you get there with that?
I could. I actually don't. And I don't think I've picked against the Chiefs any of these last seven playoff games where they won the two Super Bowls. Their defense has not been great lately. Are they really going to win 10 straight playoff games, win another Super Bowl, win three in a row? Eventually, the ball's going to bounce against them. I don't think their defense is great. Kelsey's older. I feel like this year they get picked off. I know it's dangerous betting against Mahomes, but I'm taking the field against the Chiefs. It's not exactly a bold statement, but I'd actually be somewhat surprised if they did win it again.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to go in there and beat them, and that's gonna be tough because they're gonna get the one seed.
Yes.
Have you seen enough in the last 2 weeks where you think Baltimore's defense has turned the corner? As I tweeted Monday night, I guess it could be different if Johnson catches the ball. If their defense looks like that, I don't think anyone can beat them. The offense is that good. Now you have Henry in cold weather. You can lean on Henry. The offense is all time. So if I just get an average defensive performance by Baltimore, I think they're better than Kansas City. And like Likely said, after the opener Thursday to start the season, that was our D-minus game, and we still should have beat you. So good luck when we play you next time around. How about Baltimore?
I mean, they're really good. I mean, Lamar and Henry is just ageless. I still worry a little bit about Lamar in a big game, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's the Ravens. It's interesting to see how the bracket. First, they got to win the division, because if they do fall to the six and they have to play Buffalo in the first round, that would be tough. But look, they have the head-to-head with the Chargers, so even if they fell to a wild card, and I actually think they're going to win the division with Pittsburgh's schedule. The division is important. But they did beat the Chargers, which would put them ahead, which would give them the Texans in the first round if they don't win the division. But I think the bracket is going to be important here. But I think it'll probably be Chiefs, Ravens, or Bills. Texans, you can't see coming. I don't think the Chargers are there yet. They need another weapon. They're probably not as good on defense. So it's probably one of those three teams.
I would unleash hell if Baltimore plays Houston in the first round. That Stroud is a mess.
He's a mess.
How do you – no one's – finally, people are recognizing it about how bad he's played. But you get – you score 10 seconds into the game. You get a pick six. You sack Levis seven times in the first half. You recover a muff punt deep in Tennessee territory and you still lose the game. That a couple weeks after getting five interceptions at home and losing to Detroit. I don't understand why this team in Stroud, what happened here? They won a playoff game. He was so good. And now I would take any team against them in the first round.
Can't really find anyone to steal the division. I keep thinking, man, are they definitely going to win this division? They're probably going to win it by default. But if you look at the schedule, okay, they got the easy one this week against the Jags. But after that, it does get tougher. They play the Dolphins at the Chiefs, the Ravens, and then they finish with Tennessee. Yeah. So, again, I don't know that I can find a team to steal it from them.
I know. I was looking at that too. But it's the Colts, can they beat the Patriots? First things first.
Right.
So with what they did already sweeping Indy, that's a huge price, and I wouldn't take 50-1 on the Colts to come back just because of their schedule, and the Colts also have Denver coming up on the road. So getting the tiebreaker and sweeping them is going to be the difference.
Last one, where's Soto playing next year?
What do you think of the Snell thing first?
I think the Dodgers, look, these teams make a lot of money. They're trying to win. You could do what these other owners do and pocket the revenue. They're trying to win, so I can't kill them for it. I think it makes the sport more fun where you have a villain, a team that, hey, they're just going to spend. So I have no problem with it. I actually think it's good for the sport. And actually, people are going to say, oh, it's piling on. They don't need him. He's injury prone. They have a lot of injury prone pitchers. I think they're just trying to throw volume at it and say, hey, if we get 12 pitchers, we just hope by October four or five of them are healthy. So I think it's just a numbers game with them. So I don't know.
Well, it shows you the difference between the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yes.
And ownership.
Yep.
I mean, they win the World Series, and right away it's how do we improve? How do we get better? And I think the Yankees are going to lose Soto. So, but with this Cashman Boone nonsense and Steinbrenner, it's the old man never would have allowed this to happen.
No.
So the Dodgers rotation is Snell, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Ohtani, Kershaw, Gonsolin, and then maybe May. So, I mean, please. But I think Soto goes to the Mets because of how that was found money with what they did, making their deep postseason run. And I just think Cohen's a lunatic, and he wants to own New York and has a chance here to say, let's keep this going. I'm going to steal Soto from you. And I think that's what's going to happen. What say you?
Starting to feel that way. I was very confident the Yankees would re-sign him because in a lot of ways the Yankees can't afford to not re-sign him because they're not a title team. And Judge is getting older. Cole's getting older. What do you have if you don't have Soto? I don't want to hear about a plan B with, oh, we'll get Alonso or we'll get, you know, Santander from the Orioles. Those guys are not Soto. Judge and Soto was so fun to watch together. And look, they came up short. They had a horrible fifth inning in the World Series, but that was a World Series caliber team. Couple tweaks to the bullpen. You could see that team obviously winning World Series. Without Soto,
right.
I don't know where you go to get that team back up to the same level. There is no plan B in my mind.
Well, two things here, though. They did have an easy path.
They did.
And they own the AL Central. I mean, that path was so easy. You know their record when they face someone not from that division going back in the playoffs, it's horrendous. The other thing is, if I let Soto walk, I mean, Judge continues to embarrass himself in October. And he's going to continue to wear this where I don't care what you do in June against the Mariners. I mean, you win all these MVPs. I can't count on you to do anything in the World Series and in the playoffs. So that's another thing in the conundrum for the Yankees as well. So, yeah, you made the World Series, and you definitely should have – you had an excellent chance to win it considering the meltdown and the bad moves by Boone. But what happens if I lose Soto and then I can't count on some of these pitchers as well? You have to reload and get better.
And the frustrating thing for the Yankees, Judge hit a homer in game five. I think he was starting to get hot. He was starting to have better at bats, and we'll never know what would have happened in game six or game seven. Ohtani was clearly hurt. He wasn't himself. Yeah. Judge was getting hot. I don't think Rodon would have won game six, but who knows? It's going to haunt the Yankees for a long time, that fifth inning. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Paulie, appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Follow Money 4-7 Eastern, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always check it out with Mitch. And Pepe's, Modern, Sally's. Don't forget about the number one, though, John's in New York. John's Pizza, the best I've ever had. But love my pizza out on the East Coast. You have a happy holidays. Thanks for the invite.
All right, man. Appreciate coming on. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. We will be back Monday. Talk to you then.